Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD TIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Good evening, fellow Melbournians. This is Kylan, and you're listening to Kiss My Arts.
And I'm Amy, and you're also listening to Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9. What are we up to tonight?
Well, first off, I want to thank the beautiful girls Kat and Farine and Dystopical playing some amazing sounds.
Oh, they played amazing songs.
And what
tonight.
A way to finish the show with Florence. I thought that was brilliant.
Amazing stuff.
Exactly. Well, I was dancing my ass off in here, so that's great. Coming up this hour, I will be reviewing three films: Like Crazy, Sione's Wedding 2, and what was the other one? Oh, that's right, Project X. So stay tuned for that. Amy, what are you going to be doing?
Tonight I'm reviewing Adam Eaton's latest EP, and I'm also going to be airing an interview I did with the amazing JD Sampson.
That's
so
right.
This is an amazing, incredible interview, so make sure you stay tuned for that. I'm also going to be reviewing her gig at the Phoenix Public House, which was last Thursday, so make sure you stay tuned for an amazing night on Kiss My Arts. Yes, and welcome back to the Kiss My Arts show with Kylan and Amy. The time is 7 minutes past the hour of 9. Kylan, over to you.
JD Sampson, obviously, will be talking with Amy later on in the hour, so do stay tuned for that. Because I predict it's going to be an amazing interview.
Very interesting. Do stay tuned. Incredibly interesting.
Indeed.
Speaking of JD Sampson, I did head along to her gig at the Phoenix Public House in Brunswick last Thursday, which is actually going to be one of my reviews this week. So, first up, I interviewed JD Sampson on Wednesday last week, the day before she was to perform at the Phoenix.
Okay.
When I asked her what we could expect from her upcoming show, she said, and I quote, "a well-thought-out performance of music and a high-energy show." She certainly delivered what she promised with a set full of punchy beats, rocking electric guitar and catchy synth riffs. And I mean, you can hear already in her music we just played for you a second ago, that kind of driving rhythm, you know, incredibly catchy, if somewhat explicit lyrics. But
hey, it made me think and go, are they actually saying what? I think they're saying, and they are, and I still wanted to listen.
Yeah. Well, of course, there were also the politically charged lyrics about money, credit card babies, sexual identity, coupled with interesting costumes and a self-made backdrop with one word scrawled across it in big letters: men. A difficult genre to pin down, and I've heard it aptly described as dance music for thinkers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's something to think about.
Hey, that's a good mix, actually.
Dance music for thinkers. Do you?
I would never have thought about combining those two.
I think that sums up JD Sampson's music in general. I like
Righto.
It. On stage, JD is extremely charming and engaging, providing some chat in between songs that you felt was personally directed to you and you only. She continuously asks, how are you guys doing? You know, with her American accent.
Have you got a bit of a crush, have we, Amy?
No. If the music was too loud or too soft, if we were enjoying ourselves, etc., etc. So polite and considerate. But would then launch into a song with the lyrics like, I'm going to fuck my best, excuse me, quote, or make him pay, which we will play for you later on. A girl with integrity and humility, but also a girl with attitude. In two of the songs, two trumpeters, who I assumed had been found randomly out the front of the local conservatorium and roped in at the last minute, awkwardly approached the stage. With their scrappy pieces of manuscript before them, they quietly whistled out a few long notes on their horns, but really I felt contributed little to the overall musical experience of the show. I'm not really sure why they were there, but nevertheless, JD acknowledged and thanked them, and the crowd cheered their little cameo role.
That's awesome.
As JD promised, it was a high-energy, entertaining, yet thought-provoking show. I give it 4 out of 5 kisses.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
What was the crowd consistently made up of?
lesbians.
Righto.
Moving right along.
Yes.
My next review is of Adam Eaton's latest EP called You and I and Us.
And I understand we'll be hearing some songs from Eaton in
we
the hour.
We will actually be hearing some of Adam Eaton's music. Cool. Sour. He had an EP launch last night at the Toff in town. So this is a very new EP.
Yeah.
Originally hailing from Melbourne, Adam Eaton is a singer-songwriter who currently bases himself in Norway, believe it or not. Adam arrived in Norway in 2010 and fell in love with the country and the people, so soon settled in to start work on his solo project with the help of some talented Norwegian musicians that gravitated towards his atmospheric alternate country slash folk infused songs, complete with tender vocals and poetic lyrics. In July 2011, Adam and his Norwegian bandmates headed to a little island off the west coast of Norway to record his debut EP, You and I and Us, which is what we'll hear tonight.
Wow.
Adam and his band recorded live in the stunning surrounds of the Norwegian countryside. The EP was then mixed and mastered in Melbourne by our friend Roger Bergedals, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and mastering by Adam Dempsey, who also worked with Geordie Lane, who we interviewed on the show a couple of weeks ago. See, the music world's all connected. Adam is currently back in Australia at the moment with an armful of beautiful songs from his EP and is on his You and I and Us tour around the country.
Cool.
As you were here when I played some of his pieces on the show, his music can only really be described as beautiful, well-crafted and touching, with lyrics that occasionally hint at painful regret.
Oh, yes.
You're going to love this stuff.
I think I will.
You have a soft spot for the alt country slash folk singer-songwriter. Mm. I find the use of a textured saltasto violin. Now, that's a music word that you can look up if you're not sure, but it's where you sort of lightly touch the strings with the bow and it kind of gives like a really wispy quality. It's not like a real violin sound, but it's kind of like almost like the sound of someone crying. It's really, really lovely texture
okay.
in the track You Alone. It's absolutely beautiful. And the way he uses the fiddle throughout is extremely crafty and effective. He uses this little Hammond organ in the track Chosen Window, and it's so quaint. And his harmonies are always smooth and velvety. The track I've Always Gone features a very country-inspired banjo, which for me gives the track a very ye old knee-slapping kind of feel, making it a little jarring with the rest of the charming EP. All in all, though, a great debut album from an artist I look forward to hearing more of in the future. I give it 3.5 out of 5 kisses.
Good evening, Melbourneites. I almost had a bit of a freeze.
I froze.
Welcome back. You're listening to Kylan and Amy on Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9. Coming up next, we have the first part of Amy's interview with the amazing JD Sampson of Men and formerly of La Tigra.
We do indeed. And this is... Thanks. This is a really, really amazing interview that I was very, very lucky to secure with JD Sampson during the week. And I have split it up into two parts. And this is the first part of the interview. So let's get straight into it. I hope you enjoy. Before you joined La Tigra in 2000, you were studying queer studies and feminist experimental film. So I believe you started out life as more of a visual artist.
Yes, that's correct.
What were your earliest memories of music, and how did you transition from the visual world into the music world?
Well, I think I had a really interesting and perfect catalyst, which was the band La Tigra, because the project was so kind of incorporating visual art and all kinds of performance art within the project. So, you know, it was really easy for me to kind of understand, you know, how to create a conceptual performance that kind of incorporated all the things that I was interested in, you know. Yeah, I would say that was the first time that I brought the two together, for sure, yeah.
So I've read that you didn't actually grow up in a musical household, and that your influences of music kind of came to you from outside influences as opposed to within your family.
Yeah, and I think that's why I continue to say that, like, I'm an artist first, you know, and kind of musician second, and that just seems to be the medium that I fell into. And but, you know, both of my parents were visual artists, so being an artist and being creative and imaginative and conceptual and and crafty, and all of those things were things that I grew up around for sure.
Mm.
And I think those are things that and things that I bring to this project, you know, and all of the projects I do for sure. But I guess I've just been most well known for my work with La Tigra and in the music industry. So somehow that's what people know me best for, you know.
Mm.
But I guess, like, you know, in terms of the music art form, you know, I consider myself to be conceptual and crafty and self-taught and all the things that I learned about art when I was a kid.
There just seems to be so much variety in what you've done in your life so far. Do you see some kind of common thread running through all of those?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I've just kind of taken what life has given me, you know, whether that's friendships and in particular collaborations with other artists, working in different mediums or whatever that is, you know. I think it's just kind of, I'm open to whatever's out there and adaptation of my work on a lot of different levels. And I'm interested in kind of just continuing to make my dreams come true and create work that spans, you know, a spectrum of all kinds of different kinds of work, you know. It's funny, you know, after we make a record, we usually go on tour, and for me, kind of the more interesting part of that process of about getting on to going on tour is the production element of the show, and whether that be costumes or a backdrop or, you know, cut out figures that, you know, of different members of the band that have been with us in the past or whatever it is, you know, it's been really important for me to kind of, like, take on that part of the project. And I usually sit in my apartment and get all painted up and for, like, months before we go on tour, just kind of conceptualizing the whole performance as really an art piece in itself. So I guess, like, in a sense, that's, like, what I have always dreamt of being, you know, is that kind of artist. So, you know, there's parts in the show where the costumes, you know, kind of mime feelings about integrity or feelings about friendship or collaboration, you know, and someone might not recognize that, but it's all in my head, you know. And the banner behind us might just look like shapes, but there's a story behind it, you know. And, you know, we just went to the MoNA today, the Museum of Old and New Art in Hobart, and, you know, like, they have these whole artist stories of what each piece is about, and it's like, that could be said for our show and every element of our show, you know, but people don't really, you know, have that kind of explanation in a music band performance, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, sure.
Michael Jackson used to say, you know, his whole body is like a symphony, so, you know, his arm will react to the strings and his leg will react to the timpani or whatever. And I really can relate to that feeling of just, like, embodying all the different elements of the music in your body, you know.
Speaking of Michael Jackson, I read also in an interview you did with Emily Royston that you agreed with something Michael Jackson once said, and I quote, "I feel more like myself on stage than at any other time in my life." Is this a statement that you agree with on some kind of level?
Yeah, I think on an emotional level, you know, it's really complicated to be looked at, you know, and but there's something interesting about really becoming the person that you want people to see or something like that, you know. And I think sometimes when I'm on stage, it's easy for me to be the best I can, you know, whether that's the most sympathetic or kind of like the most sincere or emotional or strong or confident, you know. I think that sometimes I look at my, or I, you know, I can see myself on stage and feel happy to be me, you know, and it's just that feeling of kind of bringing it the best you can, you know.
Well, I mean, you're obviously unapologetically yourself and happy to flaunt gender ambiguity, and to an ever-increasing number of people, you are a hero, an idol, a sex symbol, and a role model.
Mm.
How do you feel about this role?
I guess, like, as I said before, I just kind of take what life gives to me, you know, and I think that I think there's been no other way to do that with what I've been given. I feel very lucky to have been able to travel and be a part of such an incredible community all over the world, and also to help people. You know, a lot of people have told me that I've helped them by being myself, and I think that's just a really awesome thing. You know, I do believe that, you know, as humans, we should do as much as we can to try and help other people feel good or feel safe or whatever, and I feel lucky to have been able to do it with very little, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't want to be a politician. I don't want people to look to me for the answers, because I'm just another body, you know. But I do feel like, you know, it's been a wonderful time, you know. I don't know, it's hard sometimes, you know. I read this article with an interview with Sinead O'Connor, and just talking about how it's very difficult to be criticized and critiqued just for being you. And I think that I've been really lucky to be kind of, you know, supported for being me. But there have been times where I've been criticized, and that part of it is really, really difficult. And sometimes you just want to crawl into a hole, you know.
Make him pay, make him pay, make him pay. Welcome back, guys. You're listening to Kylan and Amy on Joy, on Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9. Sorry, just trying to get that song out of my head.
It's catchy, isn't it?
Very
what
catchy.
Did you call it? You had an amazing name for that kind of music. Were you calling it political pop?
Yeah, I was just saying off the air. It was like, it sounds poppy. It sounds like political pop, which... Hey,
well, dance music.
If no one's coined that term, then I coin it, and it's kind of Luke McKean, copyright 2012.
Yeah, what did they say before? Dance music for the thinkers or something.
Yeah, she did. That, yeah. Just wanted to acknowledge a very nice text that was sent in from Bob saying he's never heard the words like and you know from one person in more in his life. So I totally agree.
A lot of likes and you knows in that interview.
I think there was one point where I was like, I'm going to start counting. Not in any disrespectful way. It's like, I just want to see what
the
tally is.
You know what? It shows that J.D. Samson is human. You know, I like it. I like it. Speaking of J.D. Samson, we've got part two of the interview coming right up now. So sit back, relax, and look forward to hearing more likes and you know.
Yes, I was going to say that. Damn. I'll be counting.
All right, here we go. I
read an article of yours from the Huffington Post titled, I Love My Job, But It Made Me Poorer. And obviously there's been mixed responses to this article, but I was just going to say, when I read it, it actually made me feel relieved that I wasn't the only one thinking these things. And I'll quote you for a second. I'm stupid enough to have put all my eggs in one basket. It is now the only thing I can do to make money. I'm 33 years old and I can't make coffee. I don't know how to use Excel or bartend or wait tables, and I'm officially too old to join the police force. I've lost the confidence to go back to school and feel stressed out about impending debt when I think about further education for even 1 second. I'm glad you wrote the article, and I'm glad people are talking about it. Do you think there's ever going to be change for creative artists that will provide them with some kind of stability?
Almost every month I have a whole new idea of what's going to happen, but I think for the most part I've realized that there's kind of an overabundance of people who are artists, and there's, you know, in the basic supply and demand, you know, business kind of plot, it's really, you know, difficult to, you know, fund as many artists as there are in the world. And especially right now in the music industry, you know, music isn't paid for anymore. So the money is just becoming less and less for more and more people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, my parents were both artists. Art was a big part of my life as a kid. But I do really wish that I had not only, you know, I had like split my time working, you know, in different kinds of studies that I was interested in, you know. I can remember myself in high school wanting to be a doctor, you know.
Yeah.
And how awesome would it be if I was making music and I was a doctor, you know. It's like, I just feel like not only would it bring more safety to my financial situation, but I think it would also bring more interesting topics to my art, you know. And I think you know, hindsight is 2020, and you know, the article definitely came out of a frustrating moment. And but I'm really glad I wrote it too, because the conversation is what I was interested in, and I've received hundreds and hundreds of letters of thank you. And to me, I haven't read one of the letters of disgust, because I feel like I have really helped to create a conversation about money in a community that is afraid to talk about money. And there's class differences abound, and it's great to be able to be open to talking about it.
Speaking of money and the music industry, obviously Men released a 3-track EP this week, which I've already checked out and love, so congratulations on that.
Thanks.
The cover art is very interesting. When I first saw it, I thought it looked like an old coin. Now, is that the intention, and has the EP got something to do with money in the music industry, or have I read into that completely wrong?
No, it is. I saw this photograph of a close-up photograph of a penny by the photographer Moira Davey, who does a lot of amazing photographic as well as installation work. She lives in New York, and her art is just incredible. And when I saw the photograph, I thought that is perfect for our first release, which is almost completely about money. And so we, you know, I thought something that's so incredible about it is that it's kind of, you know, it references the problem with the United States financial you know, growth and the financial system in general. And also it kind of references the poverty and the fear that we feel of just being gouged at, you know?
Yep.
And I think it's also really, it's really depressing, but it's also really strong in the sense that we have this kind of never-ending hope, and that's why we continue doing what we're doing. And yeah, I just loved the image, so I asked her if we could use it, and she agreed and was very awesome about it. So.
Yeah. Let's just talk quickly about Men, because that's why you're in Australia at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how did Men come about?
Well, Men was kind of a combination between two projects. One of them was a DJ production project with myself and Johanna Fateman. They kind of just, like, stemmed from La Tigra. We wanted to continue making music together and kind of just had to think of a name and did. And the other one was a project called Hirsute, which was just kind of like a friendship band created by myself, Emily Royston, Ginger Brooks Takahashi, and Michael O'Neill. And we kind of just always considered it to be a collective, with everybody collaborating and working together to create, like, an intellectual queer dance band, you know? And so kind of, you know, Johanna got pregnant, we decided to bring the two things together, and at that moment we just kind of realized we wanted to make a record and be a part of the music industry. And then as time went on, and we were touring a lot and stuff, like, people, you know, Ginger decided to further her visual arts career and stop touring. So then we had Tammy Hart join us for a while. She eventually decided to stop touring as well. And now we're on tour with Lee Free, who's an awesome percussionist from New York as well, that I've known for a long time. So I like to think of it just kind of as life going on, you know, and it keeps taking twists and turns and new formations. And I think that's something that's really cool about the project, is that, you know, we're always changing, and every time you see us, it's going to be a completely different show. And I think that that's something really awesome to do right now with music, is just keep people interested.
Do you have any projections for where you'd like to take Men?
At this point, like, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm just the kind of a person that, like, doesn't really like to have goals. Because I'm, like, afraid that if they don't come true, yeah. I'll feel bad about myself.
So you're the sort of person that doesn't make New Year's resolutions?
Yes, of course. But I do have willpower, though, so
yeah.
I should probably. But, you know, I think my goals are to, like, continue to make art that I believe in and make good music. Like, that's pretty much like what I want to do. If the world wants that, that's awesome. And if they don't, then that's fine. You know, like I try not to have too many expectations in case that I don't, you know, I don't want to get let down. But, you know, we're putting out this record ourselves and we just want to be able to try our best to make good music, get it out there to the right people, and hopefully, you know, people will be into it and will, you know, grow and be able to reach a lot of people and be able to help a lot of people and, you know, have a great community of fans and friends and art and collaborate with amazing people that inspire us and all that stuff. But yeah, I have little goals in terms of like how big we're going to be or how much money we're going to make or if we're going to be on the cover of a magazine or something. It's just kind of about, it's more feelings, you know,
yeah.
more sure. sentimental.
What would be the issue that you are most passionate about?
Right now I feel really passionate about youth confidence.
Okay.
I feel like I in talking a lot about, you know, bullying and even coming out processes for youth, for queer youth, but also just everyone. I feel like the general thing that I would love to help promote is just youth confidence. I look at my diary entries from when I was 13, and I look at my diary entries from now, and they're oh so very similar, you know. I think one thing that I really have a hard time with is confidence, and I think that if I had tools to generate more confidence as a kid, I would be able to know how to get through that now, and I think that's something that I'm really interested in helping to do.
I just wanted to ask what we can expect from your upcoming shows in your current tour.
Expect to just see people giving 100,000,000% to the show and to an exchange of energy. Like, I really do believe that what we put out, the audience will receive and then give back to us. And so there's it's really cool how to watch that happen, and hopefully you can expect just kind of a well thought out performance of music and a high energy show.
You're on Joy 94.9 on the Kiss My Arts show with Kylan and Amy. You've been listening to the beautiful sounds of Adam Eaton, and I can't say his name. That was his song called You Alone off his latest EP, You and I and Us, which has just been released, so make sure you check out that. Thanks again to JD Sampson for an incredible interview, talking about her life, talking about her projects, and, of course, men. So thanks again to JD for doing that interview. Make sure you go to joy.org.au in the next day or so to check out the podcast if you'd like to listen to it again.
Yeah, and just once again, Bob has texted in saying he counted 28 you knows. That's outrageous, Bob. I got the same amount, and I think that's outrageous. So well done there, my friend. Very good tally.
Wow, that's awesome.
Indeed. Right up. So now we're going to get into the film reviews.
We are indeed.
I've got three. I hate saying that word.
I have
three to review tonight. The first one being Like Crazy. And here's the details. And get ready for some scripted voice action. It's 86 minutes. It's M rating. The director's Drake Doremus. The writer, Drake Doremus and Ben York Jones. The distributor's Paramount Pictures Australia. And the cast, Anton Yelchin, Felicity Jones, and Academy Award nominee Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh my god.
I know.
I want to watch that just based on the trailer. That's incredible.
Yep. Now, this film is already a winner at Sundance. It won the Grand Jury Prize for filmmaker Drake Doremus, as well as a special jury prize for Felicity Jones. You know, it's truly a wonder to see great young talent emerge in film, and with the aforementioned Jones, along with the exceptionally talented Anton Yelchin, Like Crazy is a heartfelt and genuinely affecting film due to the performances that both actors convey. Anna, who is played by Felicity Jones, is from the UK and studies in Los Angeles. She is smitten with quiet classmate Jacob, played by Anton Yelchin, and leaves him with a confessional message on his car asking to contact her. Soon, the two fall blissfully in love and with each other in a way that is, sorry to get sentimental, but it's very authentic and very tender. When both graduate, it is time for Anna to return home to the UK, but a last-minute decision sees her stay with Jacob for a while longer. The consequence of this affects her visa, and she discovers upon re-entering the States that she cannot come in. This leaves Anna and Jacob in a position of confusion, and they have to work out how best to maintain their relationship. With bittersweet moments throughout the film, Lie Crazy is a film that highlights the difficulties of long-distance relationships. Anna and Jacob go through so much in order to make their love exist. But how far can one go on if both live in different countries? The performances of the two leads are impeccable and secure this film to be a consistently engaging cinema. And with a plot that is well written and with shots of LA and London, this film will strike the heartstrings of many. I give it 4 out of 5. It's, I think, for people, anyone out there who's actually been through a long distance relationship, I never have been, it's really going to strike the chord with them, I think.
Oh, it sounds incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
That song on the trailer, oh my gosh. Oh, pulls at those heartstrings.
The second film I have to review tonight is Sione's 2, Unfinished Business. It's 92 minutes, M rating. Director is Simon Bennett. The writer is James Griffin and Oscar Knightley. The distributor is the New Zealand Film Commission. And the cast consists of Robbie Magasiva, Oscar Knightley, Shimpao Lelesi, and Iahito Aihi. So as you can basically tell, this film is from New Zealand. And like it or not, the Duck Rockers are back. Sort of. 5 years ago, Michael, Albert, Sepha, and Stanley were collectively known as the Duck Rockers. Duck Rockers for life! A bunch of late 20 to mid-30s Samoan misfits living in Auckland, New Zealand. Today, some of them have grown up and most have gone their separate ways. But due to a tragedy amongst the pact, the lads are reunited once again and sent on a mission to find a person connected to the tragedy. Michael, Albert, Sepha, and Stanley now have to race around trying to find a Samoan in the biggest Polynesian city in the world. Not an easy feat, I assure you, having visited Auckland. Why have some of them not talked to each other? Why are some of them bitter? Have they actually grown up, or are they still holding on to a past that doesn't exist anymore? Are the Duck Rockers still Duck Rockers for life? Sione's 2 is an entertaining film and corporative... That's not even a word. So hot in the studio, I swear to God. Sione's 2.
Wait, is incorporative.
Oh, I'll say it again.
Sione's
2.
Are you going to trademark that one
I'm
as
I'm going to
well?
Edit that piece out as well. Sione's 2 is an entertaining...
entertain me.
Sione's 2 is an entertaining film.
We're
going to
rewrite the dictionary according to Colin.
Shush. Incorporative of a humour that is both slapstick and very familiar to Kiwi audiences. International crowds will like the film due to the banter the boys use, and with great shots of the Auckland location, many will appreciate the simplicity of the story. Backed with music from Kiwi legends Dawn Raid and Don McGlashan, Sam Bennett directs a pleasant film that is comparatively effective like its former counterpart, Sione's Wedding. I give it 3 out of 5.
Is it a comedic film?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Because I kind of got those vibes.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Okay, I've only got a bit of time, so on to the last film. Project X, 88 minutes. The rating is MA. Director is Nima Norizadeh. Distributor, Roadshow Films. The cast, Thomas Mann, Oliver Cooper, and Jonathan Daniel Brown. Yes, Lord of the Flies meets Sodom and Gomorrah in this teen fest flick produced by The Hangover's Todd Phillips. Youth's gone wild? Crazy teens in revolt? Or are they simply just being 21st century kids? Set in humble, homely, and comfortable suburban Pasadena, young outcast Thomas is about to become a man by turning 18. Aww. To celebrate, his two mates Costa and JB help him throw a party. But apparently, being at the tail end of the school popularity scale doesn't come with many friends. So Costa decides to take advantage of social media and blast Thomas's party everywhere for his fellow peers to see. Aided with the fact that Thomas's parents are away for the weekend, the three lads not only want to want the party to be a success, but they also want to get some female action as well.
Mm.
So with the help of some illegal substances and a flipping the bird gnome, the boys set up the house to set themselves up for what they hope to be a game-changing party. What ensues is an hour of complete and utter carnage. The crowds turn up only to tear the place apart. Laced with bubbling hormones, a plethora of half-naked women, and blokes who think they're the man, this film only gets worse with every minute that occurs. The last half hour is especially awkward to watch, but curiosity keeps one perving. This is a party where there is no safety in numbers, and I was on the edge of my seat expecting the worst to happen. And it sure did, and then some. Sure, critics are going to berate this film because of its blatant sexism, their use of drugs, and the portrayal of teens as nothing but addicted hedonistic pods. But truth of the matter is, some kids are like that even if it's for one night. I'm glad I didn't attend this party, but I can see how the handheld action of this MTV music video styled film can be enticing to some. Equipped with a soundtrack full of R&B goodness, the lots and lots of jaw-dropping moments, this is a movie full of teens who love to play young, wild, and free. I give it 2.5 out of 5. All right. And coming up next week, we have 50-50, Africa United, Coriolanus, Headhunters, John Carter, The Source, and Kahani. And next week, I will be reviewing 50-50 and John Carter.
Wow, massive week. Well, this week, I am heading to the Golden Plains Festival over the weekend.
Yes.
So there's 3 days jam-packed full of music. So I'm going to basically dedicate my segment to my reviews next week to the Golden Plains Festival. I'm going to select a couple I think are amazing and focus on those. So make sure you tune in for that.
And while you're saying that, while you're going to the festival, I'm actually heading to Future Music on Sunday.
Oh, no way. Yeah. You're stepping into my territory there.
Well, I don't know if I can do as good of a job as you. I will be going to celebrate my birthday weekend. Yeah.
It's your birthday.
Yeah.
It's your birthday.
Yeah.
It's your birthday.
But I decided to just, because there's a couple of bands playing there. But also, guys, what I want you to know, what I'd like to inform you about is the French Film Festival starts this Thursday as well. So be sure to check out. There are some great films. I reviewed quite a few of them now, and there's a great selection on there. If you can, check out The Giants and Goodbye First Love. Really, really good films. And just to inform you as well, the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, the tickets are on sale now, and you can see what's online, see what's on offer by heading along to the website there.
I did actually go to see one of the previews of the Alliance Française French Film Festival a few weeks ago, and La Délicatesse with Audrey Tautou and A Toothless Swede Man is a must-see. That was an absolutely beautiful film. And early one morning, I can't actually remember the French for that one, early one morning was also a fantastic film about a man in the finance world and basically how corrupt it is and how it played on his psychology. So make sure you check out both of those films.
So lots coming up next week, guys, especially with Amy and I hitting the festivals in town. Up next, as always, where are they? Can I get them to see?
Can we get there a woo? They are.
The boys in the cubby house. I wonder what they're going to talk about tonight. Maybe I should have checked with that.
Must
first,
stay though. Tuned.
Yeah, please
find
stay tuned
out.
For them. Looking very fine.
Before
and I've got
a
guest as well.
Before we head over to the cubby house, we did actually ask JD Sampson to do a little bit of a favour for us. We're trying to get a bit of a catalogue of tags to use on Kiss My Arts, and here's one that JD Sampson supplied for us.
Rock and roll.
Hi, this is JD Sampson, and you're listening to Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.